earlier on this week, therapists delivered bags of shredded counselling notes to Minister for Justice Jim O'Callaghan's office to protest his refusal to ban the use of counselling records as evidence in sexual assault and rape trials. Following the protest, O'Callaghan stated in the Dáil that a blanket ban on the disclosure of counselling records is not compatible with the Constitution and would risk the accused's right to a fair trial. The Dublin Race Crisis Centre released an official statement on Thursday which says the counselling records should be precluded from trials within constitutional bounds by recognising counselling notes as legally privileged documents. Now, Sinn Féin had a bill this week to try and get a ban put in place. Matt Carty is their spokesperson on justice and he's with us on the line. Deputy Carty, good morning to you and thanks for joining me in the programme.
Hello, Gerry. Hello to your listeners.
No, this is proposed amendments to the Criminal Law and Civil Law Provisions Bill. Took place on Wednesday. Unsuccessful on your behalf, but I know you're working with a lot of people in this county as well who feel very strongly about the use of counsellors' notes in these sort of trials.
So, yes, what the Dáil have been dealing with is the Criminal Law and Civil Law Bill for this year. And one of the areas that it is dealing with, and it deals with actually a whole load of disparate issues, which is one of the concerns we have around the scrutiny of the bill. But this deals with the second stage of the legislation, and Sinn Féin opposed its passage through second stage precisely because the protections that you've mentioned that the Rape Crisis Centre aren't included within it in relation to counselling notes. Now, the Minister has indicated that he is going to be bringing forward and or open to amendments at committee stage, and we will be holding his feet to the fire in respect of that, because what's crucial to all of these, whenever we're making legislative changes in respect to how sexual, gender-based or domestic violence issues are dealt with, is that we actually listen to what victims and survivors have said to us, and what they have clearly told the members of the Oireachtas is that the practice, which is now standard, whereby if somebody is charged with a sexual offence, that the first thing that their defence team seeks is the counselling notes from any sessions that the victim might have attended. Now, that is bizarre on a whole range of fronts, but you can imagine how traumatising and psychologically damaging it would be for somebody who has been through counselling after a violent attack or a sexual abuse. And sometimes you could be talking about years of sexual abuse. And their most intimate thoughts would be discussed with the counsellor. But it's actually the counsellor's reflection on whatever has been said that is being divulged in court. And it's hard to see, and I'm not aware of a single case where the counselling notes themselves would provide anything in respect of a defence. But what it does do is create a chilling effect. And I'm the chair of the Oireachtas Justice Committee, and in pre-legislative scrutiny, we heard directly from victims who told us that they make a decision as to whether or not to continue counselling or whether to pursue the legal recourse.
I was going to ask you that question. They have to separate the two or choose between one and the other because of the fear that something they say when going through very painful discussions in a therapy session may be used against them.
Well, just think for anybody, even somebody who hasn't been through that process, or if anybody has ever gone to marriage counselling or gone to any private counselling session, what they would think about whether the notes that their counsellor has taken were divulged to not only a court, but in this instance, to the person that was probably responsible for them seeking counselling in the first place. I don't think anybody would want those type of personal, very intimate thoughts being shared with any third party, and not a stranger, not a judge, not a barrister, not a solicitor, and certainly not somebody who had been responsible for horrific acts against them. So in my mind, this is very, very logical. And the difficulty is, up until this point, so what happens is a defence team can seek these records. A victim has a right to challenge that, and they can go before the courts. But what's happening is that there is a fear if a victim does challenge the counselling notes, being presented, that would delay the process, or that there would be an inference that perhaps there is something to hide. Yeah. So the law that's being presented as it stands now was simply that in every instance where a request was made, there would have to be a pre-trial hearing. So in other words, a victim doesn't have the right to waive their right not to have that pre-trial hearing, just so that there's a standard basis. In our view, that does not go far enough at all. In fact, the Oireachtas Justice Committee has called on the minister to find a way that there is a complete ban on the use of counselling notes. But what people recognise is that there are constitutional rights, there are constitutional requirements to ensure people are entitled to a fair trial. So we have to get the balance right, and therefore to ensure that any judgment that is made in this regard has a preemptive consideration that there wouldn't be a divulging of this type of material unless there is a very clear and direct line and rationale for it.
So work to be done for the Minister of Justice, and particularly, I suppose, the Attorney General, who had informed him that, look, the blanket ban wouldn't be compatible. So a line has to be drawn or found to try and make this happen. And you'll be looking for them to do that as soon as possible.
Exactly. And well, as I say, my committee will be dealing with the committee stage. So we'll be scrutinising in great detail the minister's amendment that he will be bringing forward. I'm sure there will be a number of amendments coming from opposition parties. I hope that the minister will be as amenable to them as we will be to his amendments. And ultimately, what we need to ensure is that those victims and campaigners who've been campaigning for a ban on counselling notes, many of whom have been repeatedly in the Dáil, are heard, because what they have said is that in many cases their experience of the criminal justice system more broadly has re-traumatised them. And as I mentioned, in respect of this particular issue, you have a situation where people who have been through horrendous attacks, sometimes over a prolonged period of time, are ultimately faced with the personal choice as to whether or not they actually engage in counselling, which they desperately need, or whether they engage in the legal process, which society desperately needs them to do in order to hold those responsible accountable. So let's see what the minister brings forward. There are quite a number of other things that are required in this area to ensure that the entire criminal justice system meets the needs of victims and survivors, and ultimately ensures that people who are responsible for these type of crimes are held to account.
Okay, Matt, just a final point on a separate issue. We had the Taoiseach Micheál Martin, who's in Kerry today, on the programme, and we were talking to him about opposition calls for him not to go to the United States as a sign of protest at the horror of what's happening, number one, domestically, but also the international threats on Greenland and Denmark and threats of tariffs on the EU. What's your position on this? And I know this time last year, party leadership said that they weren't going to the White House. Is there a position similar this year? Will you not be travelling? And Micheál Martin was critical, saying he can't understand why the opposition don't understand it's important to go to America to talk at all different levels of the administration, not just about Donald Trump.
Yeah, I accept absolutely that an Irish government has to engage internationally. Now, St. Patrick's Day is a different thing because it's a social occasion primarily. And I have to say, last year, while we didn't attend, we accepted the presumption that the Taoiseach attend on the basis that he outlined Irish concerns, particularly around the continual breaches of international law by the United States in terms of their complicity with the genocide in Gaza. I was really, really disappointed with the manner in which the Taoiseach conducted himself last year. He didn't refer to Gaza other than to commend Donald Trump for his efforts, which was quite bizarre. He then sat and laughed and shared a joke with Donald Trump in respect of the housing crisis in Ireland. So, yes, we need Irish leaders to be in America speaking to American leaders, but they need to be speaking truth to American leaders. We're a small, independent, neutral state, but we have a voice internationally, and it's a respected voice.
And I feel that...
The failure
will you be boycotting again?
To use it effectively. I'm sorry?
Would you be boycott? Will you not be travelling again? Sinn Féin leadership not be travelling again to America, or have you made a decision?
We'll make an ultimate decision in respect of Patrick's Day very soon. But we continually engage in the United States with members of Congress, with the administration, and with civic society, and with, of course, the Irish diaspora, which are crucially important. And anything we do will be guided by what's in Ireland's interest, but also ensuring that we bring an Irish Republican voice and advocacy for Irish neutrality anywhere in the world that we go. And one of the biggest disappointments, I have to say, of this current government is that they're failing and refusing to do that, to bring that voice up.
One of the criticisms thrown back at you is your accepting of donations from US business people, some of them in construction, some of them supportive of Donald Trump. Will you continue to fundraise in that manner?
So any fundraising we do in the United States is with the Irish diaspora. These are Irish people who were forced or chose to leave Ireland during often very difficult times. They've remained very committed to Irish unity, to the Irish peace process. And if they want to express that support by donating what is mostly small donations to friends of Sinn Féin in the United States, well, then I think that's something that we should be welcome. We know through other strong Irish organisations, whether it be the GAA or otherwise, that the links with the diaspora are incredibly important. Our links with the diaspora as a political party and as a party committed to Irish unity are incredibly important to us, and we'll never apologise for having those connections.
Does it matter if they support Donald Trump or not?
Well, we care about whether they support Irish unity and the Irish peace process. That's our primary concern, and that's our sole focus in terms of our engagements with the Irish diaspora. We don't tell people who are living in other states how they should vote in any particular election.
Okay, Matt Carty, thanks very much for that. That's Deputy Matt Carty, Sinn Féin spokesperson on justice, talking about those attempts to try and reframe the law in that area of counselling notes being allowed in rape and sexual abuse trials. If you've been affected by any of that, by the way, you can call 1-800-633-333. That's 1-800-633-333. That's the Kerry Rape and Sexual Abuse Centre number. And if you have a view on that, and Sinn Féin, as we know, now to make a decision shortly on whether they will be repeating what they did last year and boycotting a trip, that St. Patrick's Day trip to the United States, or whether we'll be going over to engage with US leaders. If you're viewing what he had to say,